This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday the 16th of January. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean R. Currie. With a review into religious freedoms in Australia underway, on tonight's show, we begin to explore what this will mean for many in our communities as we ask Reverend Rick Holland from St. Michael's Uniting Church in Melbourne how afraid we all need to be of what's to come. We return to the Better Together conference and look to the past to influence our future as we explore what equality means today and how the labels of the river of the past has made way for a stream of possibilities for who we are and who we can be. And with the Melbourne Drag Award nominations closing tonight, we find out why so many drag entertainers are clamouring to win the title of Bitch of the Year as we find out what's changed in what drag entertainment means to our community over the years.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
On the 22nd of November 2017, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced that the Honourable Philip Ruddock was to head a review into religious freedom in Australia. The review kicked off less than a week ago on January 10th with a panel of six experts from law reform, human rights and religious backgrounds. The review is due to wrap up on the 31st of March this year. And as this directly affects our community, The Informer will be following the review closely. We're starting the conversation today with Reverend Rick Holland from St. Michael's Uniting Church in Melbourne. The Informer's Daniel Roberts spoke to the Reverend earlier today and started out by asking him, as a church leader, does he believe religious organisations need protection from our community?
No, I don't think they do. I think they have perfectly adequate protection at the moment. And anyway, why should they be protected? The church should actually be on the front line and be more concerned about the community in which they're living and working than protecting themselves and hiding themselves away in some sort of reclusive freedom.
So what do you think then? Where has this review, the idea of this review, come from? Has it come from politicians or has it come from the public?
Oh, it's come totally from politicians. It's actually a smokescreen from the hard right of the government who, if you remember, before the marriage equality bill went through, it was an attempt really to water down, in my view, the very straightforward view of the public that same-sex couples should be able to get married. Of course they should. The wing of government that couldn't actually cope with that started to build itself its own little corners of defence, and out of that came this review. And it's under the guise of so-called religious freedom. If we just take, for example, the marriage equality issue, all churches across Australia at the moment have complete freedom to marry whoever they like. The Catholic Church, of course, will not, in the main, will not marry people who are divorced. They have the freedom to say no to people who come in who want to get married, and as do all the other churches. As a minister of an established church, I have a total freedom to accept or reject anybody who comes to my church and wants to be married. We already have that. I don't see why we need to talk about it any further.
Now that the review is open and people can actually make their submissions, what do you expect some of the concerns will be?
Well, I think the issue is actually about allowing homophobia, allowing some parts of the community, and only a minority part of the community. The marriage equality postal vote demonstrated that very clearly. But what it will allow is that certain parts of the community will be given the freedom to actually demonstrate and legally be allowed to demonstrate prejudice. It could go further. It could be homophobia. It could be racism. It could be all sorts of issues that might be given to the church under the guise of freedom. I totally oppose that. And I don't think the church should be given any special right to display things which, in my view, are totally opposed to the principle of Christianity anyway.
So, Reverend, if a member of your parish raised a concern with you, how would you address that?
What would the concern be? Give me an example.
Okay, well, if a member of the church was concerned that your church was going to conduct a gay wedding, for example, what would you say to that member of your church?
Right, well, first of all, I don't think that would be the case in my church because we have a huge support for the whole marriage equality issue in St. Michael's. But nevertheless, I take the question as it stands. The point is that as a church, and this applies to the whole of the denomination to which I belong and of which I am a minister, the Uniting Church, we stand for equality. For me, that's what the whole of the marriage equality issue was about. It wasn't so much about marriage, it was about equality. And in the Uniting Church, for example, it was way back in 2003, we were the first church in Australia to do this, was that we fully accepted gay men and women into the ministry of our church and on a full and equal basis. So in the Uniting Church already we have a large proportion of our ministers, well, a significant proportion of our ministers who themselves are gay. And that's just one example of the way in which the church is making a stand on equality. And that would be my response to anybody who raised that with me. You see, I have no respect. This was the discussion during the whole of the crazy marriage equality voting campaign, that we should respect each other. The yeses and the noes. Well, I have no respect at all for the noes. If by no we mean we are making a stand against equality. Some people are more equal than others. And that particular part of the vote was saying, no. Straight people can get married, but gay people can't. I have no respect for that, and I would have no respect for that view in the life of my church if somebody approached me with that.
So, Reverend, the review has only just kicked off and it's due to finish by the end of March. Do you expect many things will change out of this religious review?
No, I don't think it will. And the reason for that is that churches already have that freedom, and I think this is the biggest single issue for me. We're not taking anything away from the churches in terms of the marriage equality decision. We're actually adding to it. We're giving freedom to the churches to choose whether they want to conduct same-sex marriages or not. So it's not a limitation. It's actually much more of an extra opportunity for churches. So I think it'll be fairly weak, and I'm not expecting it to be much of an issue as far as churches are concerned. I think the proponents of the no campaign will still be alive and well, and will still be pushing those ridiculous, do you remember the ridiculous examples of kind of baker refused to make a cake for a gay wedding. I think it'll go beyond what you might call religious freedom into the area of what they would call community freedom. But I've no worries what I consider to be the outcome of that whole inquiry, because I think the churches are free already, and we can't take it with it. Certainly wouldn't take any of that freedom away.
Reverend Rick Holland there talking to Daniel Roberts from St. Michael's Uniting Church earlier today.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
The Better Together Conference saw the many different parts of our communities come together to explore what we need to start working towards to unify the collective letters under our rainbow. Is that something we can or even want to do or achieve? In order to look to our future, we have to look to our past. And instead of placing blame, we have to look for how our history can help us in the fights our community aren't yet ready to face and are on the horizon. We were at the conference last week, and we now hear from Jason Twazar McShane and Jamie Gardner as the torches pass from the gay conferences of last century to the LGBTIQ dialogues of the future.
Am I your lady? Or am I your man? Or non-binary or gender diverse? It doesn't matter. When you reach for me, I'm gonna do all that I can. We're heading for something, somewhere I've never been. Sometimes I am tired, but I'm ready to learn all about the power of love.
I love our communities with all my heart, more than I love the Essendon Football Club and the pop group ABBA. But we're painful. Sometimes we're awful. We have done much to diminish each other in recent times. We sabotage other people's work. We lie, we backstab, we get behind our keyboards, and we become warriors who call out things as if we have the right to be the judges. Marriage equality took, I think when we formed Australian Marriage Equality back in 2004 or thereabouts, as one of the founding members, it took so 13, 14 years. And yes, and some of the key campaigners are here this weekend and welcome. Yes, it's a wonderful victory, but gee, it should not have taken that long. We should have had that 4 or 5 years earlier. And the reason we didn't have it 4 or 5 years earlier, I believe, is that we did not work together more collaboratively as we should have, so we could get there faster. But we didn't get where we need to go with marriage, and that's a good example, fast enough. Let us not take 15 more years to get where we need to go with all of those spaces. We cannot afford to let anyone else die, to let anyone else suffer mentally and emotionally and physically any longer than we have to. And we owe it to each other to be better together and to make sure that we stand up for each other. And this weekend, you can listen to over 60 different spaces and areas and thoughts and ideas and take them with you and know how to champion their needs better than you ever have done before. And you can make friends with those people and build connections and relationships and bridges. There needs not be any fear anymore. If you want to wear a dress, of which I wish I could but would look terrible, if you don't want to wear a dress, if you are feminine, if you are masculine, if you are non-binary, you are fantastic and there is nothing wrong with you. We need to get our country up to speed and our communities up to speed so there can be no more fear and we can get where we need to go faster. And so let me just tell you, the Equality Project is not some pseudo peak body that has invented itself. The Equality Project is not some weird organisation with no accountability. We're a company limited by a guarantee, and we are a small group of people who've worked to a vision that believes that by bringing back everyone together in a national conference, we can actually build those connections, bring visibility, provide education, and form relationships and bridges that are currently not strong enough and missing. I just want to say one more thing. It's okay that if you came here with your guard up, it's okay if you're angry because you've been hurt. And I personally feel like we've failed and that there are some people who should be here today but did not feel safe enough to come. And that is not just my fault, that is our fault, because no one here is our enemy. And everyone, as far as we're concerned, and as far as this conference is concerned, starts afresh today and is forgiven because we've all stuffed up. You have the right to be here, you have the right to contribute your voice, and you have the right to know that you matter. I have the absolute pleasure now of introducing you to someone who is a true community champion over many decades. And what he is going to do today is something kind of special and do a handover from our original 70s and 1980s homosexual conferences to today's Better Together conference. So I'd ask you to warmly welcome Mr. Jamie Gardner.
I am here, as Jason says, to hand over. I see myself, perhaps, as was remarked a moment ago on the floor, as an ambassador from the past to the future. And where we are in the present is always between those two things. I'm delighted to be here with you all, and boy, that's a big all, with all of you here on the first such conference, the first national Australian LGBTI conference of this century, indeed of this millennium. And Jason asked me to be here because I was at the first such conference last century in 1975. It was a much narrower conference, but it was just as revolutionary. It was, as it were, a trickle which became the tributary, which became the large river which you are now creating and will navigate in the future. We look at history for lessons, what not to do, what to do, what worked, what didn't work, and we should try again. And all of those things are there in those first conferences. The first one, as I said, was here in Melbourne in 1975, in August 1975. They continued every year until there had been 11 in 1986, at which stage I think it would be fair to say that the disastrous health emergency of HIV/AIDS took over the energies of our by then growing but also afflicted communities. There'd been the occasional attempt in the past to generate some sort of national organisation, but this conference marks a new beginning, in my view, and I congratulate you all. And exactly what form of connection you get to is going to be very important. We shall see. Looking back at the first agenda, it's fascinating to see, and here it is, rather less documentation than you've got today. The first agenda included, interestingly, a workshop on Australian gay history. Some of you may not even have been aware that 1975 was part of Australian gay history, but even back then, we were having a workshop on Australian gay history. I don't remember the detail of what we discussed, but I'm sure we could find out if we go to the archives, which means I should pay respect to the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, which came out of the fourth of these National Homosexual, or by then Conference of Lesbians and Gay Men, as the trickle grew and our communities recognised that we were larger than just that first smaller group. At the door of that first conference, one of the other participants in that first conference, Philomena Horsley, reminded me there was a little sign saying, "This conference is homosexual territory. There is no room for hatred of our lifestyles. We are here as blatant homosexuals," in a healthily aggressive manner, we declare ourselves a good thing. And we still are. From those foundations, beginning to find our way to this great river of a movement which, as the minister said, has achieved and has a lot more to achieve, I convey the message from the past, the foundation of the past, as something on which we can grow, you can grow, and be, as everyone will say today, better together.
Am I your lady? Or am I your man? It doesn't matter, 'cause whenever you reach for me, I'm gonna do all that I can. We're heading for something, somewhere I've never been. Sometimes I am tired, but I'm ready to learn all about the power of love.
That was Jason Twazam McShane and Jamie Gardner speaking at the opening of the Better Together conference last week.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Today is the last day for voting in the Melbourne Drag Awards, and one of the most coveted awards to win isn't the Hall of Fame or Drag Performer of the Year, it's the title Bitch of the Year. We spoke to some of the nominees, Bumper Love, Lexi Gaga, Missy Leminx and Avril Lavigne, about why the shady narrative of drag performing seems to be the element that everyone prefers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lassiter's Casino, Alice Springs presents Miss Mitzi Del Bra, Miss Felicia Jolly-Goodfellow and Miss Bernadette Bassinger.
So we spent about 3 months researching all of the awards that have been held in Victoria over the last 30 years, all of the drag awards, plus in comparison to Perth, New Zealand, Sydney, you know, other states. And we kind of, a lot of them had many categories, you know, some even had 26, would you believe? So we obviously for the first one, we just wanted to consolidate it, have a really great event, and have a starting point. So Bitch of the Year was actually quite prevalent in all of those. So it's a bit of a legacy to, you know, maintain certain categories so that we can kind of compare interstate, you know, what they're doing. But also there is a lot of shade that the girls throw. So it's really, maybe it can be renamed the Shady Award, but it's really about, you know, how people interact, how drag queens interact and use their talent and their intellect and their wit. But that category has come about from doing quite a lot of research and talking to the previous organisers of Melbourne-based drag awards.
Look, I think Bitch of the Year is one of the most prestigious awards. I think it's actually more prestigious than winning Drag Entertainer of the Year. I think being a bitch is sort of taken the wrong way. I really think it's more like being the best at what you do. I just think that bitch is used in the wrong context in this. I think it should be more like, you know, like most charisma, sarcastic, talented on the microphone instead of bitch. I think that's the pinnacle. I was very excited for that one. I think in other states it's different. Like Sydney, for example, Bitch of the Year is Host of the Year. And at first I thought that's what ours was here, which I thought that's a huge honour to be nominated in that category. But they've actually just said it's more about just being a bitch. So, still exciting.
Not only was I excited, but I was shocked and amazed. You know, it is seriously the greatest title that you could probably get. Well, I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I'm up against an awesome amount of my sisters and my girls, you know, who are amazingly talented and you know, all over the shop. You know, you've got your Art, your Missy, your Lexi, just to name a few. And this one, because I think we're taking it as a bit of a combination of online presence, you know, and sass and the shade that one can throw, but also, you know, the ability to host and talk on the microphone and bring a crowd and draw a crowd and keep the crowd entertained and, you know, to be up for an award acknowledging that is pretty awesome and exciting.
We do. We expect that bitchiness and that cattiness because, you know, that's all in the campery and all in the fun of it, poking fun of each other and poking fun at ourselves, which I especially love to do more than poke fun at anyone else. If I can get a laugh out of myself, then that's made my night. I think these days you can pretty much say anything. Everybody's heard everything these days. But I think the thing is with, for example, RuPaul's Drag Race, when you look at that and reference that's what we're doing here in Melbourne, is that there is all the different categories of who's who. There's definitely the bitches on that TV show. So people love those bitchy, shady characters. So I think having those people here, and people are now calling us bitches and calling us shady because it's in, it's popular at the moment to be that. So I think at the moment it is a bit more expected than probably what it was and what it used to be when Pussy and Tabitha, for example, Monty used to just slur abuse at them all. It's just a different landscape now, and yeah, they do expect it, I think, particularly from me. And once they've met you a couple of times, they really expect it and hold you in high regard. Or if you don't do it, you get in a bit of trouble. Oh, I've got a theory, and I've got who I think will win. I think it'll be a balls up between Lexi Gaga. Of course, if I don't win, it'll be a balls up between Lexi Gaga and Amina J. Now, I say Amina J is because when you look at Lexi and I, we're often a pair. We're often in the same show, working in the same venues, in the same traps. So Lexi and I are kind of splitting votes between who would vote for me and who would vote for Lexi, whereas Amina has a own cluster of Southside people for all the amazing work she's done over there over the years, that would just solely vote for her and wouldn't consider anyone else in that pool, I feel. So it'll be really interesting to see, I think, how it goes.
My money is on definitely on Mr. Minx, I think, because, you know, she, you know, she calls everyone dickhead, so that's a good start to being a bit of a bitch. But I think she's definitely got a huge presence online. I'm always with an opinion, and also host lots of nights, not only in our queer community, but also, you know, bringing the queer community to things, to a lot of hen parties and a lot of events outside the normal, the queer location. So I think she can really bring it.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lexi Gaga. I am up for Bitch of the Year, Miss Congeniality, Melbourne's favourite drag queen, and the Hall of Fame. Also, my girls, the Size Queens, are up for Drag Production of the Year. We would love to at least win something out of all those awards. So vote for me, Lexi Gaga, and I will love you long time.
I think I've got them all already. I don't think I can talk about it anymore. That's really exciting. I've been nominated for Bitch of the Year, Performer of the Year, and a Best Production Show, which is the Size Queens, which have worked really hard on that business, which is exciting.
So Drag Nation have been running the voting and everything to do with that part of the competition. So, and they're very good at it. So they have got all of the voting online on their Drag Nation website. So head there because you've only got a few hours left. They close at later on tonight. So make sure you get in and you vote for all your favourites, as well as suppliers and technicians. There is the category there. We've got a DJ, photographer, different kind of suppliers to the drag industry here in Melbourne. So get in and vote.
That was Bumper Love, Lexi Gaga, Missy Lemmings and Abril Latrine. And don't forget, voting for the Melbourne Drag Award ends tonight. So get your votes in.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you the news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer.joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Dean Arcuri.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.